three matters for this Sermon on Zenzin are deep humility, profound gratitude or grateful heart, and true practice. Those are the three matters. First, deep humility. The Buddha, when he surveyed the world after his enlightenment, he found that all beings, each and every one of them, was endowed with the Buddha nature. He didn't know that before his enlightenment. Now, after his enlightenment, when he surveyed the world, quote, "Behold, everyone is endowed with a Buddha nature." So that was a great surprise. And so when he heard that message, in a sense, for the rest of his life, he spent 45 years trying to convey this message to people who came to him for teachings. So to us, it comes as a great surprise. And almost overwhelming. Usually, for one reason or another, we think we are unworthy of anything lofty or and all that, not deserving something noble and wonderful. So it comes as a great surprise. So this deep humility we feel is not self-humbling or self-debasement. It's a form of empowerment. So we feel deep humility. And with the deep humility, we accept this message and determined to work with that. Now, a few centuries later, after Buddha passed away, Buddhism moved into China. And Mahayana movement was in full swing. And there, to our great surprise, another great surprise, it says more directly, your mind is Buddha. Not only that, externally, nothing to seek. Internally, nothing to attain. Made it very clear. So from this, it made it very clear, and which saved us a lot of many lifetimes of confusion and debate and wondering, all that. So we feel almost eternally grateful. It's a profound gratitude. So on the strength of a deep humility, on the strength of a profound gratitude, so we come up with a true practice. The reason why true practice, if you lack deep humility, if you lack profound gratitude, then your practice is not true. It's not true practice. You have to keep that in mind. Because true practice with a deep humility and a profound gratitude is practice itself is awakening. They are not true. So already there, the message is sentient beings are Buddhas. And your passions and enlightenment or body are not true. And on top of that, as we have in the Song of Meditation, coming from Oisang, birth, death, and nirvana are always in harmony. So you have to make this very clear to you. Deep humility and profound gratitude and true practice. And this true practice is awakening itself. And it has also three qualities. All sentient beings are Buddhas. And that comes with the later, with the Bodhisattva vow, four great vows, all beings, one body, I vow to liberate. So if you ring the evening bell, and then when you strike the bell, that's fulfilling the first vow, or in order to fulfill the first vow, all beings, one body, I vow to liberate. In order to fulfill that vow, you ring the bell and recite the gatha for the evening bell. And when you're training, when you eat, it's all for the purpose of fulfilling the first vow. Some of you are still counting your outgoing breath. Some of you is harder practice. So I'll mention just a few harder practices, and then later on, tomorrow or day after tomorrow, I'll revisit that. The harder practice from our tradition, Korean Jogye Order tradition, is called Imogo. Means what is it? But that shortened it, so what it comes is what it, with a capital I, capital T, what it. And in Korean, imoko. So, what it that sees, hears, and feels. What it the SNS prior to our single thought arising. What it that makes me busy day in and day out. There's a series of 18 of them in various grade. First, there's still host is host and guest is guest. And then host becomes guest, guest becomes host, and then there's neither host nor guest. It's usually you struggle to stay with the harder from moment to moment. That's your main struggle. But over there, it's passions are enlightenment. That is something like samsara is nirvana. So when I say true practice, that is implied. Put it this way. You lose your practice because it's pain, or your mind wanders around. And then with awareness, and you go back, and you go through all these things. That itself is a true practice. There's no other true practice. And be able to see that with your wisdom eye is also true practice and awakening. Does it make sense to you?
Yes.
Yes!
Yes!
I was, this is ringing the bell. It's a, kata! Can you do it beautifully with a loud voice? So that, it's, you know, it's a, we have a four instruments. There's the temple bell and the drum. And and then wooden plate is called a moktak in the shape of a fish. And then the cloud plate. So each of them has its own mission to fulfill the vow to save all beings. So the cloud plate takes care of the birds flying in the sky. And the moktak, the wooden gong in shape, that takes care of all these fish and sea animals. And then drum takes care of four-legged animals. And then this bell it's two-legged animals, human beings. They bring a lot of suffering in distress. They are constantly in distress of their own making. It's whether they fly around in business class or whatever. So it's the ring the bell is, so they hear somehow the sound of bell. It has apt sound too, you see. When they reach that, then they they can have a coffee break at Starbucks. You like that? Eh? So give them. You know. So if you recite the Gada with a timid sound, you cannot inspire them. So they cannot have a that break, a Dharma break. So keep that clear in your practice. Deep humility, profound gratitude, and true practice. Isn't that good enough?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Say. Yes!
Yes!
So that's good Dharma energy there. Okay, cool. Let's see.